Good morning and welcome to the church here in Aiken. Glad to be back after a few days on vacation and happy to see my family again here at church. We have a special day today and I would like to make some explanations. Last time that we had communion, one of my friends approached me and asked me some questions, so I just want to be sure that everybody understands what we're doing today. And I'm pretty sure the majority of you are Seventh-day Adventists. But we still celebrating communion. And we do it at least four times a year. Any reason why? You remember that? We're trying to put it like a equal distance from each other. We don't want it too close, that it will be like too common or too distant that we forget to celebrate it. So the church recommend to do it like at least four times a year, every quarter. We can do it more than that if we want to, but that's our recommendation. We have two symbols in here, right? One is the bread, which represents the broken body of Jesus Christ at the cross. And the other symbol is the wine, grape juice. It's just grape juice that represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Why we use wine and bread? What is the reason for that? Somebody remember here? Jesus himself selected these two symbols in the Last Supper when he was before the crucifixion. He presented the bread as his body and the wine and the cup to the disciples. And he invited them to continue doing this in remembrance of him until he came back for the second time. And that's why we do this. This is a memorial and also an opportunity to remember that our God one day will come back for us. We also continue with an old Christian tradition that is like the foot washing, right? We have some parts here at the church where the members wash their feet to each other. We had a section here to my left, your right, that it will be for the ladies. In this small room here, we have a part for the gentlemen. And in the fellowship hall, if you are here with your wife and you want to partake of this ceremony with your wife, you can do it in the fellowship hall. I will encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity and participate in this communion service, as I always encourage you. Different reasons that people have or don't do it, I will respect that, but to me, communion is an opportunity to get close to God. Amen? And to ask for forgiveness and to get close to each other and ask for forgiveness for the things that we do to each other in occasion that they are wrong to. Okay, let's stop, take a little moment to pray and begin our Bible study. Heavenly Father, again, we want to ask you for the illumination of the Holy Spirit now that we are open the Bible to guide us and direct us through the message that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our service today is a little different. We will have a small devotional today, and after that we will separate for the foot washing, and the last part we will come back here and take part of the communion. So you are invited to partake in all these sections. Have you ever feel envious of someone? If I ask you to describe envy, how you will do it? How do you describe the feeling? What is envy for you? Has somebody ever expressed envy to you? For your work or the things that you are doing or for something that you just acquired or purchased? How that made you feel when somebody had envy? Many years ago, in our home, we have this aunt who live in the capital of the country. And she visited us like every 2 or 3 years home. And it was a good occasion, and it was a bad occasion also. You know, the good part is our aunt always brings some gift. The bad part is that we had to go to Mass every day at 6 a.m. in the morning. My aunt was a nun, so she was trying to be certain that we get salvation and going to church and all these things. So it was like a kind of like a happy, sad moment. But I remember a special occasion. I was probably 8 or 9 years old of age. My younger brother, at the time, he was like 6 or 7 years old. And by the way, my youngest brother's name was Juan Pablo, like the Pope. You know, like, you can ask me why. You know, my mom was a very devout Catholic, and she wanted to honor the Pope, and they put this beautiful name to my younger brother. And never quite understood that part. But I remember that occasion near Christmas that my aunt was visiting us, And everybody was happy. She got home and she brings some presents to everybody. And I remember my brother having this little toy, nice toy, like a little figurine that she gave him. And she gave me this small box, and I was really excited, you know, to open and find out what was my gift. So I start opening my gift, and can you guess what was my gift? What do you think I was expecting for a gift? I was expecting a toy. Yeah, at that age, you know, I was a boy, at least a little car or something, you know, like in that kind of like nature. But my surprise was quite a bitter disappointment when I opened my gift and I found this small box who say baby power talk, you know, the talk that they put in the babies, this powder for avoiding rash. And I was quite angry and said, why my aunt bring me this? You know, like, what is the toy? You know, I wasn't expecting this powder for baby rash. You know, like, number one, I'm not a baby anymore. And number two, this thing is made like roses. You know, speaking of feeling envy, at that moment, I start having envy of my little brother. You know, like, he had this nice toy, and I get this powder for rash. So, you know, like, injustice in life. I never quite comprehended why my aunt gave me that gift. But that's how I will try to describe to you envy. When you have this feeling that somebody else is being better treated than you, right? That they had a better deal than you, and you feel like disappointed, and you feel like you want to have that too, no matter what. Have you ever feel envy of the people who doesn't always walk with God? Well, the Bible tells a story about a man who once feel like that. Please open your Bibles in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 73. This is a very well-known psalm. And the Bible presents a clear picture of how some people in occasion feel in reference to others who are apparently more blessed than you. Psalms 73. Are you ready? Amen. All right, let's read. Truly God is good to Israel, that's how the Psalms begin, to such as pure of in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my step had nearly slipped. But I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So what is the problem here? What happened to this nice fellow? Member of the church. He was feeling what? Jealousy, and he was feeling envy. Why? Because people who doesn't always obey to God was more prosperous than him. They were having more money. They were having apparently more fun. They are having more good things, and God was giving him this lousy gift. Have you ever feel like that? When you watch television and you see the rich people in our society today, these artists that they spend 7, 8, 9 millions buying this beautiful house right there in Hollywood or here in Miami or different places, and you wonder, I still have this trailer, I haven't finished to pay my mortgage, you know, and these people is having so much money to buy these shoes and buy these boats and watches and cars and all these things. And you wonder why. Why they had more fun than you? Why they had more money? Is that God bless them more than you? Is God unfair? All this thinking this man was having here in Psalm 73, he's thinking, wow, you know, the bad people, it seems like they had better life than us, that we are trying to be faithful to God. And continue reading with me in verse 4. For there are no pains in their dead, but their strength is firm, and they are in no trouble as other men. No, they are plagued like other men. It seems like they don't have problems. They had food, they had money, they had these nice houses, nice, you know, properties. It seems like they don't even get sick, you know, and you are wondering why. Why is this happening? And I remember in one occasion somebody speaking about this and said, well, the devil always bless his children too, and that's why they are having more prosperity than you. And I want to disagree with that. I think that the good things that happen to people, they come from God. Even when we misbehave, right? God continue giving some more blessings than others. Why? Don't ask me why, because I'm not God. He has his reasons. But I will tell you that the feelings that some Christians have in their hearts is not that good. They always kind of like have some envy of the other people. Now, let me ask you again, have you ever feel envy of someone else? Maybe envy of your neighbor who had a better house. Or somebody that in your job get a raise and you didn't get the raise that you were expecting. Or maybe somebody in your family that you know doesn't care much about money and suddenly he have a lot of money. And you are here trying to pay your bills and wondering how you will make ends meet next month and this person having more money than you. All these things pass in the minds of a lot of believers. And this is what's happening in the mind of this person who's writing this psalm. Why God is blessing them more than me? Continue reading with me. Verse 6. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace, and violence cover them like garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance, and they have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly. Concerning comprehension, they speak lawfully. They set their mouths against their heavens, and their tongue walks through the air. They are. Now, thinking on this and how we feel as a Christians was my reflection during this week. We are having communion today. And one of the main reasons that we had communion today is because we are remembering Jesus Christ there at the cross. Right? You remember that part? That's the main teaching in the Bible and the Gospels. Why we celebrate this horrible event that implies blood and suffering and torture of Jesus Christ? Why? Have you ever think about that? I remember as a child when I used to visit the churches that one of the most vivid memories that I have is that picture of Jesus in the at the cross, you know, with all this blood and this little piece of clothing covering his body and his wound and kind of like a very sad face, and always wonder why God allowed Jesus to go through that. Why? It was no other way for salvation of the human race? Well, when you read the Bible, you discover that it's no other way, that was the way. And that story is found in the sanctuary. The person who wrote this psalm discovered later that everything changed in his mind once he entered sanctuary. If you're going to read with me, please help me to read here in verse 17. Actually, let's read verse 16 in this psalm. When I told how I understand this, it was too painful for me. He was having a very painful struggle in his heart. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. So all this conflict finally ends when he enters the sanctuary. And what will happen at the sanctuary? Well, at the sanctuary, they always offer in these sacrifices in behalf of people, in behalf of the sinner. Because without blood is no remission of sin. That's what they were teaching, and that's how Scripture presents salvation. Can you imagine what will happen to you without salvation? What is our end? The other day, they were presenting a program about science, and I enjoyed watching these kind of programs. But it was a little disappointing to me when I discovered that in this program, there's no space for God. The whole program is about how the planet had been here for a long time, how the universe always had been here. Their perspective of suffering is evolution. There's no change in the humanity. We will continue being the same beings. After you die, that's it for you. There's nothing else after that. And that's, to me at least, it's a very great kind of like picture, you know, like very depressing idea that it's nothing else after this life. But I found in a scripture that God had made several promises, right? And one of the beautiful promises that you find in a scripture is that it's something called heaven. It's something called a new life, a new earth. It's something called a better life for us as human beings. And that gives me some encouragement. Realizing that all this is happening right now is not what we'll encounter. In Sabbath school, we were talking about the news and how our world is full of sorrow and sadness. Wherever you watch the news, you will find people telling you how many children were killed because this bomb blew up in Israel. Or how many people were killed 3 days ago because an airplane was brought down by accident and nobody knows what happened there. And I wonder how the families of these people they are feeling right now. I wonder how their anger, their frustration, you know, all these feelings that you have when very bad things like this, injustice happen. It seems like the bad people had better times than the good people, right? They are having better life. But remember that eventually everybody will be judged and these people will have an end. And that's the meaning of the story here in Psalm 73. That although apparently they're having a better life than you, their end is not that good. Because at the end, God will require for every human being accountability. What you did with your life, what you did with your resources, what difference you made in other people's life. You have a very selfish life or you do something good for others. What is the meaning of being a good person, of being a good Christian? All this, I was thinking this week in reflecting on the opportunity that we have this week through communion. Calvary is the answer from heaven for suffering. That's how God was paying for the debt of the humanity, for sin, trying to allow the innocent to die for the sinful, and Christ giving us his innocence, his purity, his blood to get cleansing. People who doesn't go to church don't quite understand this, because this is something quite spiritual. And you see this in Christianity, right? It's through communion that we remember that our salvation have a high, valuable price. The price that God paid for ourselves and for you and for me and for every human being that is born in this planet. So consider your life as a blessing. When you look at someone else and you start having envy, remember how God is taking care of you. That maybe you don't have a lot of money like somebody that is an artist or that is an actor, I don't know. But you have enough money to have some food on your table today, right? You have a nice place to sleep. Well, it's a place to sleep. I don't know how nice it is, but a place to sleep. That you have some clothing and you have some items. Last week, I was talking to a group of kids in a Hispanic church. They have a program that they do every month. And I was talking to them and asking them, you know, the question that I always ask people. Do you consider yourself a rich person? Are you rich? Or you consider yourself poor? How do you see yourself? Maybe somebody will say, well, I feel like I'm a medium class, kind of like that. No rich, no poor, I have, you know, sufficient enough. But the reason that I was talking to this group of Hispanic kids is because precisely during these days, we have an increase in many children trying to cross into the U.S., and that caught my attention for two simple reasons. One, because I am an immigrant, I come to this country too, and I know how the whole process is, especially it is difficult if you come legally. It is almost impossible if you come illegally. So I know how difficult it is to get the legal status and all this process here. And second, because I am a Hispanic person, and I grew up in one of these lousy countries with lousy politicians and very bad policies, and I know how life is there. So now that I live here, then, you know, I feel, oh, it's not that bad here, you know. This is a beautiful place to be. Actually, I will tell you this with a lot of respect, but I consider that the people who live here have had a very nice life. By world standards, we are rich. We have more than plenty. We have a lot. And that's what I was trying to explain to these kids. I said, listen, you know, I don't know what is your situation here, but I'm pretty sure a lot of people will wish to have an opportunity to be here. But it's a limit for everything, right? It's just, not everybody can live in the United States. The rest of the planet will be empty. But they will wish that they will be here because this is a good country. This is a beautiful land. There's a lot of blessings here. And maybe you don't realize it, but God has blessed America a lot. And today I want you to reflect in that too, and how blessed you are to be here in your life. And yes, you have struggles. I know you have problems. I know we had issues. We all do. But still, we are a blessed nation. And explaining to these kids, I say, listen, you need to do your best to get a nice education and work hard and do the things right. And you will have opportunity in this country. The same thing I will tell you today when you remember the death of Jesus Christ at the cross. For us, it's an opportunity to get close to God. We have salvation. We have His blessing. We have His company. We have so many good things from God. We are better than other people. Not because we are better human beings, but because we are being taken care of good from God. Even when we suffer, you know, we have encouragement in the Scripture and the Bible. Right? So please, now that we are remembering all these things, remember the opportunity that you had to be alive here today, to partake of these symbols again, to reconnect with God, reconnect with Jesus Christ, and ask God to help you, and ask God to make your life better and richer. Amen? So now that we are dispersing to the different rooms, I would like you to remind you that if you want to stay here, you can do it. You can stay here if you don't want to do the foot washing. But that we have a special place for you, and we would like you to be with us and take part of this communion service. Let me have a prayer for you. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for blessing us so much as a church, as your people. Thank you, Lord, because through Jesus Christ we have salvation. Through His blood and sacrifice, we have an opportunity to enter in heaven. Lord, help us to get close to You and reconnect with You, that our spiritual life can be rekindled today, that everyone here can feel the presence of Your Holy Spirit in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.